Book of Revelation, the book of Revelation. We're going to read from chapter 4 this morning. Revelation chapter 4, we're going to read all of chapter 4. I will read aloud as you read silently. Revelation chapter 4. Please stand to your feet this morning in honor of God's word. As we read the Word of God together this morning, Revelation chapter 4. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me, which said, "Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter." And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunders and voices, and there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast was like a calf. And the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the 4 beasts had each of them 6 wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come." And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne, and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." Let's pray together. Father, thank you. Thank you for these messages that Pastor Johnson is bringing to us from thy word. God, help us today to walk out of this room being better Christians for hearing the word of God preached. And Father, if there's somebody in this room that is not a Christian, that has never had their sins forgiven by Jesus Christ, have never accepted him as their Savior, I pray they walk out of this room a saved person today. Give them courage to do what is right today. Now please meet with us in a special way. Anoint Pastor Johnson with thy Holy Spirit power for this task. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated this morning, now I'm going to make my beginning speech before the sermon. Make sure your cell phones are turned off, please. Check them carefully now. Make sure they're off or turned to vibrate so they don't go off during the service. If they do, thank you. If they do, you're under the wire. You're fine. If they do, as soon as the preaching starts, God will strike you dead. And then the ushers will come like Ananias and Sapphira and drag you out of the service. So help us with that. I also ask you to sit very still and listen. I want you to listen very carefully this morning. We began last week preaching what is going to be a series of messages. I do not know how many messages will be in this series, but it's a series of messages on the events surrounding the second coming of Jesus Christ. really should be the events starting at the second coming of Christ. And those things that will take place when Jesus Christ returns for us, then God has a timetable of events that are going to take place. Now, I want you to understand, we started last week with a message on the second coming of Christ. That's the event that starts everything. When Jesus returns for His own to take us off of this earth, to go to be with Him, that will begin a series of specific dated events. In other words, they'll have a timetable to them. They will take place, some of them concurrently. Some of them will take place as we'll talk about them today. One of these events will take place. Soon as Christ returns for His own, we are caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. The saved are caught off of this earth. So, Pastor Johnson, I mean, come on. I mean, that many people. Well, first of all, it isn't going to be that many people. I believe it'll be a great host of people. But, ladies and gentlemen, we've had disasters and things happen in our own lifetime, just our lifetime, that have just been explained away, and people thought, oh yeah, there you go, and they just went on about their lives. So believe me, and especially as we get further into these events, we're going to talk to you about the person of the Antichrist and the things that will take place here on this earth when the saved are caught up. When that happens, Christ comes for His own. The dead in Christ rise first. We which are alive and remain are changed in an instant, and we are caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And this is not a slow event. This happens in 1/500th of a second. Jesus gets from heaven to the clouds. The bodies of the saints that are in the grave are changed. We which are alive and remain in this mortal flesh are changed. We rise to meet the Lord in the air and return to heaven in 1/500th of a second. So it'll be like here, boom, there, just that quick. When that happens, the Bible says, well, when do you think it will happen? I know it when it will happen. Matthew 24, 44, the Bible says, in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. And I think, frankly, I always thought that applied to the world. They didn't understand, realize what was going on. Jesus comes back. I think it applies to Christians more than anything else. It's amazing to me how many people know of the return of Christ, realize it could be at any moment, and it's like their life is not affected by that. I want to say it one more time. I cannot believe we made it another day. We're not in the last days. We're in the last hours before the return of Jesus Christ. I cannot believe we have another day. We've had another day. And I do not believe we'll have another one. Yeah, but it just goes on. Yeah, and in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. I believe it's the apathy of God's people that's more prevalent in that statement than anything else. Why else would Christians, so many Christians today, not all by the way, why would so many Christians be so caught up in their life? If you ask them, do you believe Jesus is coming again? Oh yeah! But their life doesn't reflect the fact that Christ could come at that moment. So the events we speak of today, one event in particular takes place when Christ returns for His own. We are caught up together. We meet the Lord in the air, the Bible says, and immediately two events begin. One of them takes place in heaven. The other one takes place on this earth. So Christ comes. Jesus returns. We're caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. One event will take place in heaven. We'll talk about that one today. The other event will take place on earth. The one that takes place on this earth is the event that takes place for those who are left behind. Not the book. Not the series. Which I do not recommend, by the way. There's too much unscriptural stuff in that material. Implies, as we will show you clearly, if a person knows and hears the gospel before Christ's return and they reject Christ, they don't get a chance to be saved after that. And we'll prove that to you from the Bible. That's a very dangerous thing to tell people. You can change your mind later on. You don't get to change your mind. The door will close and you stay with us on this series. We'll show that to you. But there are those who will be left behind, and there's an event that will take place on this earth. It's called the Great Tribulation. We will cover that. We'll begin to cover that next week. But this morning I want to talk to you about what happens to those who are caught up. They meet the Lord in the air, the Bible says. Now when we think about the second coming of Christ, those who are saved, we think Jesus comes, we go to heaven, it's all good from there. It is all good from there, by the way. But there is one thing we have to realize today, and that is this. When we are caught up together to meet the Lord in the air and we return to heaven with Jesus Christ, It's not to streets of gold. It's not to gates of pearl right away. There is an event the Bible calls the judgment seat of Christ. You see that in Revelation chapter 4 that you read this morning. There's, as you know, in Revelation, there's a lot of figurative type language that is used here. But I want you to look at chapter 4 and verse 1. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And as the first voice which I heard, this is John speaking of the voice of the Lord he heard in chapter 1 and 2. The voice which I heard, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me. The Bible says the trump of God sounds, the dead in Christ rise first. This is a picture of the rapture of the saved. The trumpet talking with me, verse 1, Revelation 4, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. Look at verse 2. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, streets of gold, gates of pearl, walls of jasper. What's the first thing you see when you break through to heaven? A throne. Verse 2. A throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow about the throne. Remember that rainbow. We'll come back to it in a moment. There was a rainbow about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. And then it begins to talk about a figurative group of 24 elders in white robes. And they, if I can take just some liberty with you this morning, that 24 elders is a picture of the priesthood of the believer. It's talking about the saved. They've already had their white robes. From verse 3 to verse 4, what happens here is they are examined at this throne of God. Now look here this morning, please. And with these messages due to Sunday morning and time frame and all of that, I won't get to develop everything more carefully for you. I will in other events. But I want you to understand something today. If you are here this morning and you are a child of God, you are saved. And we are looking for the second coming of Jesus Christ to take us up, to meet our Lord in the air and our loved ones who are there with Him now, and to return to heaven. I want you to understand that biblically, we do not go to heaven instantly to enjoy the blessings of heaven. We must first go to a place of examination. Now, I want you to listen very carefully this morning. This examination place, the Bible calls it the judgment seat of Christ. And the saved, immediately after the return of Christ, they go to that place. The Bible says they go to a place where there's a throne, one sitting upon the throne, and an examination takes place. So that means this morning, listen now, since, not if, since we are in the last days before Christ's return and the last hours and the last moments, and before we can get to the invitation this morning, before we can conclude this service today, before the sun sets tonight, Christ could return, and then we would be standing at the judgment seat of Christ. See, Pastor Johnson, I fear the judgment seat of Christ. I don't want you to fear it. God does not either. But you must live in the reality that today you could be standing in front of Jesus Christ for a time of examination. See, that's why the second coming of Christ has to have some impact or effect upon how we live. It's not just our leaving here, it's our standing there that we need to be aware of. Hey, 1/500th of a second, we're gone. And 1/500th of a second, we're standing in front of Christ. Just that quickly. And just like that. Now I want you to take your Bibles and turn to hold your place in Revelation 4, please. But I want you to go to Romans chapter 14 with me today. The book of Romans in chapter 14. And I will apologize for taking some liberties and just making statements without giving more biblical support to some of these statements. But trust me, my friend, trust me. We could take all day long on just the rapture of the church and spend a month on that and a month on the judgment seat of Christ easily, but to give more scriptural background. And I'm going to give you some more scriptures today, but Romans chapter 14, please. Romans chapter 14, and I want you to look at verse number 10 with me. Romans 14 and 10. Again, we'll jump right back to Revelation 4 in a moment, so hold your place there. Romans 14 and 10. It says, but why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? Verse 10, Romans 14. For we shall all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, every tongue shall confess to God. So then, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Do you see that? My friend, that means that the Christian, all of the saved, will one day stand in front of Jesus Christ, and then collectively gathered there, he will take each one of them, and each one will then give account of themselves to God. See, well, Pastor Johnson, I fear that thought in my life. The only reason we would fear that is, number one, because we're not saved and we're really not going anyway. Number two, our life is not ready to face Jesus Christ today. So, yeah, you think you're all ready to go? By the grace of God, yes, I am. And I don't live my life so that someday I'm going to get it in order and live for God. I try to live my life day by day so it is ready to face God today. Now go back to Revelation 4, please, if you would. And we'll come back to Romans there again, so just hold that. But here's the reason why you don't need to fear the judgment seat of Christ. I want you to show it to you again. Revelation 4 again, verse number 3. Did you see where he talked about a rainbow throne? This is not some gay thing. This is God's rainbow, all right? Revelation 4, 3. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow about the throne. Why is there a rainbow throne in heaven when we break through? You know the picture of the rainbow, don't you? Where it comes from. The flood. Noah. The ark. After the flood was over, God's devastation of this world in judgment, when he covered the entire earth in water. That's why they're digging shark teeth out of side of canyon somewhere and things like this. God covered this entire earth in water in judgment. Then, listen now, after the waters receded and Noah and his Mrs. Noah, Ham, Shem, Japheth, Miss Ham, Miss Shem, Miss Japheth, those eight people came out of the ark. What did God do? God told them, I will never destroy this world again. And the proof of my mercy and forgiveness and grace is he set a bow in the clouds. God put the rainbow out. Every time you see a rainbow, that's not just water, a vapor that has the light refracting through it. Okay, I understand the scientific explanation. God puts the rainbow out to remind it. It's always there because of rain. He reminds us that there's mercy and forgiveness and grace. We break through to the blue. And all of a sudden, instead of seeing gates of pearl and streets of gold and golf courses everywhere, see, how do you know it's like that? You make your heaven, I'll make mine, okay? And you get there. Instead of going there and just seeing all the stuff we want to see, we see a throne and one sitting on the throne. And we think, oh. But the rainbow's there, and that says mercy and grace and forgiveness. Now, friend, listen to me this morning. If you don't get anything else out of the message than this one thought, you get this morning. The reason you don't fear the judgment seat of Christ is because you know God's mercy and God's grace, and God's forgiveness to the person of Jesus Christ. Yes, the judgment seat of Christ is for the saved. There will be no sin judged at the judgment seat of Christ. No sin. Why? Because our sins were judged upon Christ on the cross of Calvary. Jesus died and paid for our sins. And friend, he didn't make a down payment. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin and left a crimson stain, but he washed me, the Bible said, white as snow. Christ gave me salvation. Jesus has paid for my sins. And he didn't pay for my sins to a point. He paid for them all. And he is the propitiation for our sins. And not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You break through and see a throne, friend, there's a rainbow. God saying mercy here, forgiveness here, grace brought you here. So we don't have to fear that. No one is going to the judgment seat of Christ and going to hell from there. And the only reason we go to heaven is because of mercy and grace and forgiveness that God gives us, you see. That's why the rainbow throne. God saying, you can come here because you belong to me. So what is the purpose of the judgment seat of Christ then? Number one, the purpose of the judgment seat of Christ is recognition. Recognition. Listen, when you stand before the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ, you're going to experience an event of recognition. What does it mean? It means you recognize him and he recognizes you. In the book of the Revelation, chapter 4, I would like to tell you that that person on the throne in this particular event is the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not. It's God the Father. Revelation chapter 5, the Lamb shows up. That's Christ. The picture here of Revelation 4 is rapture, throne, examination. And that's why I used it as the analogy for the judgment seat. But I want you to understand something, dear people. We talked about it last week. When Christ returns, we rise to meet the Lord in the air. We will see Jesus. We get to the other side, to heaven. We will see the Father. Now, at the judgment seat of Christ, we will stand before the Lord. And I understand I'm stretching the analogy of Revelation 4 this morning, but I want you to understand this. You're going to stand in front of Him, and you're going to know who He is, and He's going to know who you are. And not just collectively. These are all my children today. He's going to look and He's going to know your face. He's going to know who you are. He's going to say, there's Jay McMillan. He's going to know you. There's Cliff Zirkle. He's going to know your name. There's Lorna Myers. He's going to know your name. There's Dave Nelson. He's going to know your name. He will recognize you. You will recognize Him. The judgment seat of Christ is a time when you step forward. He won't say, okay, next person. He'll say, okay, Mike Johnson, come here. Mike Johnson, stand here. And then there is a time of examination that's made. But He knows us. It's incredible to think that God would know. And this is all of the saved from eternity past to the moment. You're going to stand in a crowd with Adam and Eve. No, they won't be wearing fig leaves. You'll be standing in a crowd with Adam and Eve. I guarantee someone will bump you and say, that's the Apostle Paul right over there. That's Moses. Well, that's the Apostle John. There's Mary. And you'll look across, and we'll stand in a crowd with the saved of all eternity past. We'll not only recognize our Heavenly Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, and He will recognize us. The Bible says, then shall we know, even as also we are known. We'll know one another. It won't because we have name tags that identify people. You'll recognize people upon sight. You will see them. Some of them will be your loved ones, and they won't look like then what they looked like when they left here. But you'll know who they are, and you will see them. If you're like my people, they'll all clan up. We have a posse up there. We'll get our posse up in heaven. And all the Johnsons and the Wards and the Baxters and the Longs and all those people from there, they'll all start working their way toward the crowd, and we'll all get there together. I'll get to see all those people I've seen cross over and go to the other side. Judgment seat of Christ is a time of recognition. And we'll get to see their face, and they will know us, and we will know them. And then Jesus will begin to call us one at a time. Now, I want you to understand something this morning. This recognition then results in what's called the revelation, not the book of the revelation. In Romans chapter 14 and verse 10, it says, for we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We shall all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Then the verse 12 says, so then every one of us shall give an account to God. And He brings us forward. He says, now come stand here, Mike Johnson. Come stand here, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 10 down to verse 16. He says, now then, the Bible says, the day will declare what our lives were like. Now here's what is judged at the judgment seat of Christ. Not your sin, but your life from salvation to death, and its impact and its effect for God's cause and upon people's lives. Oh, so then what I have to do then is I come there, I stand there, and I have to tell God everything that I did. No, He already knows everything. The Bible says the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. He already knows all that. Matter of fact, you can't find a Christian saying anything at the judgment seat. How do you give an account? You stand there and God says, here's your life. This is your salvation. Now, from the time you were saved till you died, this is what your life meant. This is what counts. And God qualifies the quality of your life. No one's standing there with a lawyer. You're not going to stand there with your mother, and your mother's going to say, well, he was a good boy. He meant to be good. He was a good boy, God. Give him a chance, Lord. Your grandmother would be standing there. My grandmother, if she was there, I guarantee you I'd get everything I wanted. Because my grandmother thought I'd make no mistake. I mean no mistake whatsoever, and she was so spiritual. What a godly woman. But she was standing there. Nobody's mama's going to jump up there. Nobody's dad's going to say, Shasta Baptist Church is not going to answer for Mike Johnson. And Mike Johnson is not going to answer for Shasta Baptist Church. Your priest isn't going to be standing there going, man, let's tell you what this guy did, got his name on the roll. He says, here's your life. And the Bible says that the day will declare that day. Listen to the statement. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall travel, shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved. Yet so is by fire. That's not purgatory. That's God's exam. The fire is not literal fire. It's examination. It's God looking at us. And like fire reveals reveals light and darkness, God's examination reveals what our life is like. Now, Christian, look at me this morning. Your life will be examined by God on that day. And it is revealed to God, to you, and all of the saved who are there. Some of us, listen now, we're going to be standing there next to martyrs who were literally viscerated for the cause of Christ. That means they ripped their intestines out. They stood the children up in front of them and said, you will recant this heresy of baptism by immersion after salvation and not for salvation. You will recant that, or your child will pay the price. Because they would not, they lifted the gown on that little girl and they opened her intestines with a knife and let her guts fall out in front of her mother and her father. We will stand with these people. And this sorry, sad excuse of Christianity, why I can't get my worming carcass to church, isn't going to stand. Why I didn't live for God with my life isn't going to stand. Well, you're just trying to make us feel bad about not doing right. I'm trying to get you ready for the day. The day when the day reveals what our life is. Not trying to make you acceptable to me. I'm trying to get you acceptable in the sight of God. No one's going to stand there with their thumbs in their spiritual vest, talk about how great Christian that they were. We're all there because worthy is the Lamb that was slain for us. That rainbow throne isn't just to tell us it's okay. That rainbow throne is to remind us we got there by mercy. We got there by grace. We got there by forgiveness. But He didn't save us just to live for us. He saved us to live for Him. We've got to get this thing about the Christian life. We've got to get it kicked into gear and keep it into gear. Like every day I could face Him. You know, I wish He would come back on Sunday morning. I would. Because I'd like to at least go up from church. That'd be good. Or handing somebody a tract or preaching the Bible or something for God. By the way, it'd be just as good standing by the sink washing the dishes as if you're serving your family. Or in a workplace doing what God wants you to do. Just as good. But our life should be lived because the judgment seat of Christ is a place of revelation. And God reveals to us the quality of our life. And the day declares it. What are you doing now with your life that will be known then? And the judgment seat of Christ is not only a place of recognition and revelation. It's a place of rewards. The Bible says, I quoted, read you a moment ago in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 14 and 15. So then we will be rewarded for what we do with our life. So what do we get, like coupons or something? So we get rewarded. Listen now, is the reward that we get to go to heaven? No, that's not a reward. That's a gift. That's a gift of eternal life paid for by Jesus Christ. Heaven is not a reward. Heaven is a gift, friend, and Jesus paid for that one. No one's going to heaven because God rewarded us for good life. One of the saddest things I think I remember reading in my life was a statement in an article somewhere in a newspaper. I was flying somewhere, and it was about Mother Teresa, this woman who dedicated her life to working with the lepers in Bombay. It's Mumbai now, Calcutta. As a young nun, she walked down the street one day and saw a maggot-riddled carcass of a man still alive, lying in a gutter, dying of leprosy. She held his head in her arm and watched him draw his last breath. From that day forward, she dedicated the rest of her life, 60-some years, working with the lepers of Calcutta in India. Service, dedication, faithfulness. So why was that sad? No, that wasn't sad. What was sad was her writings they found after her death, where she feared not going to heaven feared not having eternal life, feared not knowing she would be accepted by God. So why would she fear that? Because you don't know if you're living a good life if you've lived it well enough. Salvation's a gift, friend. It's not a reward. Heaven is a gift. It's not a reward. So what are the rewards of the Christian? The Bible says he rewards us. He rewards us with he rewards us with recognition. Well done, good and faithful servant. That's it. I get an attaboy. That's it. He looks at me and says, good job, man. Go to heaven. That's it. See, the problem with that attitude is that's not good enough here. See, we really think, frankly, we think we ought to get some kind of bailout from the government for going to church on a Sunday morning. Like, there should be some kind of, you know, give me a trip to the Holy Land. I went to church Sunday. You mean that? But our attitude is we think we should be getting something out of God. I put a nickel in the plate. How come I didn't get 10,000 bucks like those TV preachers said? What's that all about? See, we don't. But when the Christian who lives for his acceptance, and when you go home today and you did your best for God and you live for him, you go home, pillow your head at night, and you say, Father, I try to please you today with my life. And to know your heavenly Father is pleased, if that's okay now, believe me, an attaboy then is still good. Still good. Still good. Played football in high school. Horrible team. Absolutely horrible. We won one preseason game by like 6 points. And then we got slaughtered the rest of the season. We couldn't beat the cheerleaders. It was awful. Most of those guys went on and played for the 49ers. But anyway, one game we were getting slaughtered. And I'm standing out there by the football watching 11 guys run off the 10 guys run off the field, the other guys run on the field. One guy runs to me and goes, hey, Johnson, he goes, your dad and your brother are up in the stands watching you. They never come to see me play. I didn't want them to. It was so embarrassing. They come to see me play. I look up in the stands like that, and I see them, and they waved at me like that, and I waved back. It was my dad and my older brother. Whew, now I got to do something here. Got to do something. We're down 5 touchdowns, but I got to do something. So, brother, I'm telling you what, for the rest of that game, I was a wild man. I was hitting the referees. I was hitting everybody I could hit. I wanted them to see me nail someone, do something, score a touchdown, anything. Because my dad and my older brother were watching. Just the fact that they were watching charged me up. Every day of your life, your heavenly Father and Jesus, your elder brother, are watching you. And the reward is, well done, good and faithful servant. But there are other things. Yes. There's not only recognition, there's responsibilities. He rewards us with responsibilities. Now, there's talks about casting crowns at his feet and those sorts of things. And the Bible speaks of the crowns that God gives to the Christian, crowns of faithfulness and service, etc., all those sort of things. We don't keep those. You don't walk around heaven with a crown collection. You know, with a little guy walking behind you with a pillow and a crown on each one of those. That's not how it works. As soon as you receive them, the Bible says you throw them back to the Father's feet. We don't deserve to be there anyway. So it's not like we weren't looking for, you know, get as many hats as you can. No, that's not the point. But he does give us responsibilities, the Bible says. Things that we do. Revelation 22, the Bible says his servants shall serve him. You mean we're going to go to heaven and go to work? See, that's the problem. That's what we think of it as. I gotta go to heaven and work the rest of heaven in a brand new glorified body that'll never get tired. And you get to do something for him. See, for most Christians, that's kind of how we look at it down here. Hey, I get to do something for him. And he gives us responsibilities in heaven. Puts us in charge of things. When Christ returns, and we'll talk about it in message ahead, the millennial reign of Christ. I'm looking for that one. Jesus comes back, sets his foot on this earth, takes over. No UN permission, no UN proposals. He just takes this place back. And when he does, we come with him and we're in charge of this place. That's right! We're running it all! This is on the internet. Homeland Security, come and get me! During the millennial reign of Christ, by the way. I'm not taking over right now. I don't want that mess. Anyway, phew. We have responsibility. It's a judgment seat of Christ. He says, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter in the joy of the Lord. I have something like you to do for me. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You see, this judgment seat of Christ is a time where he says, Now I want, and please remember this statement. The first shall be last, and the last shall be first. All these, you know, guys pushing their way up the front. Well, I wrote all the books, and I'm Dr. Reverend so-and-so, and I'd like you to know that I did a great cause, work for the cause, and Jesus says, I don't want to deal with you right now. You go stand in the back of the line. Grandma, come up here. Grandma, come here. You raised a couple of preachers. Preach the word of God. Well done, Grandma. Well done, good and faithful servant. It'll be a great day, ladies and gentlemen. Honestly, we won't be applauding the people who push themselves to the front. We'll be amazed at the people the Lord calls from the back and says, come on up here, Dad. You went through the day every work hard to take care of your family. Brought them to church, taught them the Bible. You did your best with them. Good job, Dad. Well done, good and faithful servant. And God will turn that thing around the way it's supposed to be. He'll even all this stuff out. My job is just to serve him because I love him and do what he wants me to do with my life. Now, the question is this. Will you be there at the judgment seat of Christ? If you're saved and you know Christ is your Savior, you will be there. If you have questions in your mind, now's the time to settle that. Right now, today, trust Christ and settle it and know for sure you're going to heaven. Because then you will stand at the judgment seat of Christ. And last thing is this, my friend, what will happen on that day for you? Well, we'll just wait and see what happens. Yeah, that's how most people live. No, that's not smart. You just do your best every day for your God, friend. You put your ducks in order in His sight by His word. And the day will come and you will hear Him say, well done, good and faithful servant.